Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access All Areas, a festive recap edition. I'm Bobby Norris.
And I'm Stephen Leng. We've had some amazing guests this year and we're going to be looking back at some of our favourites.
Our first interview is with Chyna Mills from 2022 season of Love Island. We talked about the good, the bad and the ugly that has come from her appearance on the show, how she struggled with being in the public eye and her relationship with her now fiancé, Neil Jones from Strictly.
Hello, babes. All right?
I'm good, thank you. How are you guys?
Really good, thank you. Thanks for joining us this evening. It's lovely to have you on the show. Right. How have you been?
I've been good. Yeah, I've been good. Tired, but yeah, good.
Why tired? What's been going down?
I have been looking after 3 dogs whilst Neil has been like on tour. And they are little crazy dogs.
Are they his dogs then?
Oh, no. So one of them's mine and then 2 of them are his. But yeah, they are little crazy, crazy dogs. Some of them's pieces, but yeah, crazy.
And how did the dogs get on? Like when you come with the merging of the dogs, was that like kind of moment? Obviously, you got together. Was you like, what, our dogs have to meet now?
Well, this is the thing. I introduced my dog to his at like 12 o'clock at night because I'd driven down from like Leeds to London. I was like, do you know what? This is the perfect time to introduce the dogs. When I just get to London, they can get on. And then they literally just had to go to bed. So they had to live with each other. And yeah, they was happy. Now they literally are inseparable. Well, two of them, they do have a little tiff now and again, but yeah, now they're inseparable. So like, even obviously because me and Neil don't live together. So when I have the dogs, if he's like working, like it's all 3 of them. It's not just like you can pick one and that's it. No, it comes as a trio.
How are things with you and Neil? How long has it been now? You're just keeping on the DL for a while. I'd heard a couple of rumours.
See, do you know what? I don't even know how long it's been. It's Neil that keeps tabs on it. And I'm really bad with stuff like that. Like, he's like, yeah, I think the last time we said that we'd been together for like 7 months or so. And I was like, oh, okay. So, wow, it's been that long. And he's like, yeah, child, like, and I'm like, okay, at least someone's keeping tabs because I've just been going with it.
Is he the romantic one out of the two of you then? He remembers dates, yeah. Anniversaries.
Yeah, he's definitely more romantic. Like, I'm a forgetful person. Like, even every so often, he'll be like, when's my birthday? And I'm like, May the 4th? And he's like, yeah, but now you've got it right. And I'm like...
Unless he did turn around and go, no, August or 12th of December.
You know what? I remember it as like May the 4th be with you and then leave it with that because I'm like, if it's not that, then at this point I don't know.
Good thinking.
How did the pair of you meet?
Oh my gosh. So this is the thing. Right, it's Neil's story to tell because he tells it better than me. There's literally a long story behind the madness. But in short form, when we actually like hit things off was like when we was actually at an event and like we literally from that point I knew that he loved me.
Oh wow.
I was like, this is meant to be. I dramatize it a lot, but yeah. No. Yeah, that was from that point it was like, okay.
What made you know event one that he loved you though? What indication did you get?
No, not like he loved me like that. Like, I was just like, okay, this
he was smitten.
This could go somewhere. Yeah, and I was like, okay, this could go somewhere. Okay, cool. Like, because for me, I'm never a person that's like, I don't like to get my hopes up, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just like, do you know what? Yeah, it could be, it could not be. Do you know what I mean? So then I was like, okay, this could be. And in my head, like, even I didn't even tell my friends because, you know, as soon as you tell your friends, something bad happens. Like, that's always been the case for me. And I'm like, do you know what? Better still, let me not tell my friends because, yeah, no, this always happens. As soon as I tell my friends something, like, something bad happens, so let me know.
Was it a conscious decision to kind of keep it on the DL, especially from like the press and everything? Did you kind of, how did you decide, right, did you have like a conversation, right, how long should we give it before we start putting it out there, like the whole social media thing, the press stuff?
Do you know what? I think because we were just going at our own pace, it wasn't even a thing where we even spoke about it, because it was like a thing where, do you know what? If we get found out, because you know how the press is, they literally would dig for everything. I'm like, do you know what? If they find out, find out. Like, we're not hiding it from them, but then we're also not telling them either. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I think because for us, we didn't actually have to tell everyone. It was more so of like us being packed together, and then it's like, oh yeah, they're together, and I'm like, thanks, okay. By this point I'm like, has he even asked me to be his girlfriend or what? Like, it's like they're putting it out there that we're together, and I'm like, thanks. Yeah, and then I had like my family and friends messaging me like, is this true? And I'm like, well, kind of got to admit it now, don't I?
Is that the pressure on it? Because you know, some people, I think, and even if people aren't in the public, I think just the way social media is now, for instance, when people first get together, a lot of people are like, scared to put things, because once it's out there, and obviously once you are in the public eye and in a press situation, it's that tenfold, isn't it?
Exactly.
But there is that a lot of people go, well, when do you make Instagram official? When do you put it on the socials? Because there is it changes completely, doesn't it?
I was scared because already, even like when the press had like put things out there, you know, you get your negative comments, you get this, that and the other. And I was just like, I don't know if I'm prepared for this. Like, why? Because I've already been through it where obviously you have people saying whatever they want to say. Do you know what I mean? But then when it's on your relationship, that's when it's just like, okay, now I've got to become this defensive person. But yeah, I've like learned to just like, okay, the press are going to put out there whatever they're going to put out there. We're going to put out whatever we want to put out. And if people have anything to say, good or bad, they're just going to say it anyways. So yeah, it's pretty much a thing. I'm like, okay, I'm just living with it.
That's a good attitude to have about it, to be honest, I think.
Yeah, because otherwise it'll just eat you up. Like, I've learned to just not even read what the Daily Mail writes about, like, the comments. And I'm like,
do you never read the comments.
Oh, with the comments, China, really. It's not even what the Daily Mail writes. It's the people that comment. It's the comments. Honestly.
One night I was like, do you know what? I was looking at this article because I don't even ever, so half the time, if like PR hasn't like told us that something's coming out, if they don't know something's coming out, and then say like I have a family member sending it to me, because I don't actually like look and see what's out there. If it's out there, it's out there. I don't even know. But then my family had like sent me it, and I was like, oh God, do you know what? I'm going to look. And then I thought, oh, comments are there. And I've seen all these comments. I was like, right, Neil, I've kind of got a look now. And then he's like, China, don't. He went to sleep. I'm there on my phone, like scrolling. I'm like, feel like when, do you know when you start to get angry in bed? But I'm like, who can I get angry towards? Because I don't even know these people.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I'm like,
Wouldn't you love to meet some of the people that write them? Because he might, I think, gosh, I could be in Sainsbury's getting a meal deal or a pint of Cravendale. And people that have that thought process that write, just the way some of the stuff's written, like it wouldn't go through a lot of people's heads, let alone thinking, right, that's my fault. Now I'm going to log onto my account and put that on an article.
Because you know what I think? I've now said to myself, like, anyone that writes anything nasty or negative towards me, you care, because you've taken the time and energy out for me to write something about me. So you care about me. So no matter if you want to say it negatively, deep down you care, because you've taken your time of your day to write something about me. Do you know what I mean? Like, you care.
I think with Neil as well, I mean, his relationships have been like front page news literally before. Is that kind of a weird thing to have to deal with? Like, I don't know, like, expect, like, people seem very interested.
No, this is the thing. I feel like because being in the public eye, people are gonna like obviously care about your relationships and things like that. So in my own head, I thought, do you know what, even if you're gonna be with someone in the public eye or not, people are still obviously going to want to know what the hell's going on in your life. Do you know what I mean? Regardless if you want it out there or not, there's always going to want to see what you're doing, who you with, because, and as well, the more you try to keep it a secret, the more they want to know. So yeah, so at this point for me, like, even before, I didn't even know who Neil was. Like, didn't know who he was to save my life. And it wasn't even until, like, even when we was getting to know each other more and I got to know him more, and I was like, oh, okay, you actually are really in the public eye. okay. And then even, like, when I eventually told my friends about him, and then it was like, oh my God, their mums are like, oh my God. And I'm like, who is this man? Like, who are you guys? Like, even up until now, we laugh about it, because he was like, you didn't even know who I was, China. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't. Like, it wasn't until
probably for the best.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't even till, like, even when we was properly together, and I went to go and see Strictly for the first ever time, and I was like, wow, you can actually dance. Like, I thought this was a joke. I'm like, okay, wow, I'm like taken back. Like, I literally knew nothing about him. Even his friends knew nothing about any person in the dancing world. I'd literally walk past them in the street and be like, you're right, and leave it as that. Keep it stepping.
Would you dance, if you've got a call to say, would you do Strictly? And then they thought, well, we're gonna just mix it up and be a bit quirky. We'll partner you together. What would your thoughts be, and what would Neil's be?
I know instantly Neil will say that he doesn't want me as a partner. I would say the same. Do you know what? I would say the same, simply because, so he's tried to teach me salsa, and he said it himself, I cannot be taught by him, because I can't take him seriously. Like, I look at him, and when he's trying to tell me, like, a step, and I'm like, I'm not doing that, Neil. And he's, like, literally trying to tell me, like, China, this is how you do it. And I'm like, I'm not doing it how you're telling me to do it. I can't even, like, take him seriously in that sense. So for me, I'd literally have to pick, like, be partnered up with anyone else but Neil, like, anyone.
I'm sure Neil. He would love that, blimey.
Is he jealous, though? If he saw you spinning around with one of the other lads, say, Graziano or one of them, and...
No, this is the thing. Like, we've been out, like, even, like, with the Strictly pros and things, and we literally all be dancing all together and everything else. Not an ounce of jealousy, it's just... is what it is, because dancing, isn't it? There's nothing about it, really. It's just having a bit of fun. And that's, like, yeah, I even get people saying to me, like, oh my gosh, you know, when you see Neil dancing with another female, like, do you get jealous? And I'm like, no, it's his job. It's like, he's dancing. It's just like if I'm out in the club and I'm just having a whale of a time. You know,
the question is, though, would you be jealous if you saw him dancing with a geezer? And the only reason I ask that is because a few times I've interviewed him, I've always been, and he goes, oh, when we're doing it, and I go, let's be paired together. How would you feel, Chyne, if he came on and went, I'm dancing with Bobo? Would you be well jealous?
I wouldn't mind. I watched the live tour just gone, and he was kissing Kai every night. So at this point, I'm like, do you know what? Anything goes. I was sat there with my mum, and I was like, I know it's coming up. And I even said to them both beforehand, I was like, can you just make sure you just, like, just keep it as a peck and just keep it moving? Like, gosh, I'm going to be sat in the audience. And then he was like, all right. And he still did it. And, like, sometimes he does, like,
so if it happens, I've got your permission.
Yeah, if you get a little cheeky snog from Neil, Bob, then it's all fine.
Exactly. No, do you know what? Get what you can.
Obviously, most people know you for doing Love Island last year, but how has life sort of changed for you since you've been on the show?
Oh my gosh, it has been a whirlwind. Like, because life has been totally different from what, obviously, I've been used to. I used to literally go to work, come home, and life was simple.
What did you do before?
I did youth support work.
Okay.
Yeah, no one knew me. I'd be fine going into Tesco's and doing my own daily shop and things like that. And then as soon as I came out, it was like I couldn't even just go to Zara. I would literally be bombarded, like, I literally had anxiety from, like, just to go out places, like, coming out, because I was just like, I'm not used to like people like coming up to me for one, and especially in like the swarms that they would come up to you in, it would just be like, okay, how do
quite
I
quite overwhelming.
Like, yeah, because I'd go out even like with my family or like just with my friends, and they would be like, China, I can't cope with this. I don't know how you cope with it. And they would just like move aside, and there's me just like sinking into my own body. But yeah, it took a lot of getting used to, because even like now I'm like, okay, cool. Obviously I know people are going to know who I am. It's even worse when I'm walking out with Neil. He gets like the older ladies and I get the younger ones. So I'm like, right, cool. But I think because being around like people, obviously coming out of the show, we was around each other, like all the Love Island girls and things. We pretty much like stuck together, and like with the guys as well, we all stuck together, and it helped, because without having people there around you that knows what you've been through or know what you are currently going through, it was like, without them guys, like all of them, I'd have been like, I don't even know what I would have done, because you have like the welfare, you have like the psych chats, and I'm like, I need you to live in my house with me. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I need
you to come shopping with me. Like, even up until now, I don't even go like shopping on my own. I used to do that all the time. Obviously now it's changed a lot. I don't go shopping on my own. Like, yeah, anywhere that I need to go to, I'm like, can someone come with me, please?
That's a big change, though. Because I mean, that's I've never difficult. Been like,
yeah, because I've always been a people person, but then it's different when obviously you have people coming up to you. And because also like when I came out, like I did have like good like responses, but then also I had trolling, and I was like, what the hell would I do if someone came up to me and like saying all negative things towards me? Because even though it is all good currently, I don't know what to expect if, you know, if it was the other way around or like if it was bad. So then for me, yeah, it's literally been a thing where I'm like, all right, if I'm going somewhere, please come with me. Or online shopping. Like, I even get, like, Deliveroo is my best friend. I'm like, no.
All as a result of doing that,
like, B&M, I've literally, yeah, other than that, like, B&M, I'm like, right, I don't mind going into B&M, because, like,
oh, well, I love a old, bit of B&M. Yeah,
little oldies.
What was the worst kind of stuff trolls would say to you? Like, what was the worst when it comes to like social media and trolls? What's the worst that you've ever received?
Oh, they wanted me to kill myself. They wanted me to die. This was just so, it could literally be over like the littlest thing. And I'm like, what the hell have I done to you? Like, and even like I'd be on live, and even for like being with Neil, when that came out, I was shit scared, because I was like, what the hell do I do when obviously you have these negative response? I already had like little bits of negative response for being on Love Island. It was, at first it was a whole thing of like being partnered with Jay and things like that. Like, I literally had trolling towards that. And then coming out, it died down a little bit. And then being with Neil, it was like a whole nother thing. Like, obviously you do have your good, but then people was like, all the negative responses, and it was like death threats, and yeah, like they wanted me to go and kill myself. Just
it's really shocking.
Move on.
Like the level that people will take it to, isn't it? I mean, yeah. Well, honestly,
exactly.
Thank you so much for speaking to us this evening. Really appreciate it, and best of luck with the dogs. It sounds like you need it.
Gosh. Well, I've got two now. I've got two with me now. The other one's with Neil, because I said to him, like, yeah, you can look after at least one.
It's his job too.
Oh, bless you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Lovely to speak to you. Send my love to Neil and tell him to get his lycra ready for this year, because me and him, we're getting the mirror ball, telling you.
Thanks, China.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. Bye, darling.
Bye.
You too. Bye.
I'm still waiting for my call from the BBC.
Maybe 2024 will be your year, Bob. I don't think it will be, but maybe.
It will be.
Our next conversation is with Big Brother's Hallie Clark. She left after 3 weeks on the show, but had a pretty good experience. It was great to catch up with her. Here's what she had to say.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? I'm
really good.
Actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How are you thriving since...
Thriving, living, existing, just... being fabulous. Do you know what I mean?
It must be quite a weird experience, because obviously Big Brother has just come back. Oh, Bobby's here.
Oh,
back. Sorry, guys.
It's all right.
The queen has returned.
The queen has returned.
How are you, Gold?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, lovely?
Yeah, really good, thank you. What have I missed?
We were just running through, you know, Big Brother's just come, it's all concluded, Jordan's won.
Oh, congratulations, Jordan.
How did you feel about that?
I'm very happy for him.
Were you expecting it?
Yeah, so him and Olivia were my final two. I wanted Olivia to win. But I'm very happy for Jordan because those were my top two when I left. And now he's won 100K, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's him paying and Henry. For Benidorm. He's paying for Benidorm. Jordan, come on.
Looking back on your experience now, would you have done anything differently? How many days were you in there in the end?
It was 3 weeks.
3 weeks. So it was quite a while still.
I wouldn't have changed a thing.
Really?
Yeah. It was amazing. And I feel like I wrote secret messages.
Of course.
And I called
like
Zach a game player and had those little mix-ups. But it taught me stuff. So I wouldn't regret anything. If anything, it was just lessons learned.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That's a nice way to think of it, I think. Yeah.
So no regrets.
So what's your thoughts, obviously, now all leaving the house? When you're seeing people that are your mates and a house you've lived in, when on TV, everything looks smaller on telly, doesn't it? Does it feel weird when you're now at home, like in bed or on a sofa, and you're watching your mates in the house you've lived in?
Yeah, the house looks way smaller on TV.
Looks tiny.
It's huge. It is ginormous, but
it's like in a warehouse, isn't it?
Basically, but you can't tell. Right. Literally, and like the roof, there's like windows in the roof to make it look like you can see the sky. Like it's nuts. But watching it from the outside when my friends were in there, it was more like, oh, I just want to be in there with them. And when I saw moments where Olivia was emotional, I just wanted to hug my sister. Do you know what I mean? So it just felt like I was missing out.
One of my favourite houses, well, I think they've done it beautiful. I love the little upstairs bit.
Yeah, that
was good.
The
little annex bit. Yeah. I think stunning. And I think ITV is such a good home for it.
Yeah, definitely. I think so too.
I'm so glad it's back. Was you a fan of the show? Because you're 18, aren't you?
Yeah.
So did you, been gone 5, so was you a fan of it?
Had you ever seen it?
So
even?
I knew what Big Brother was, but I've never watched a full season. But on YouTube, like you can obviously watch episodes. And I've always been a fan of it because it's an opportunity for individuals from all walks of life, it's not like celebrities or anything, to just go into a house and be themselves and to show the nation who you are.
Mm.
And so it was amazing for like me to have that opportunity and just be me. Yeah, that's why I love Big Brother, because there's no other show like it.
And it was cast so well, like the diversity was just
It was so
amazing
inclusive and
year.
Diverse. Yeah, the production done amazing, yeah.
And it was the final five was, well, there wasn't a straight man in them, right? Which, you know, actually final six.
Yeah.
Great. Great.
Yeah, the girls and the gays.
Yeah.
Literally.
Big up the girls and gays. So, babes, I wanted to ask you, obviously, because a lot's been said in the press since it's all come to light, but what's your thoughts on Trish's tweets that have all come out?
Oh, why'd you have to ask me this, Bobby?
that's my job. And you've obviously got an opinion. Do you know what I mean?
So I've spoken about it a bit on live stream, but I think what she said was disgusting, and there's no excusing what she said. However, the Trish that I met and saw in the house, I don't see that Trish now saying those things that were said.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like 5-10 years ago. Like, I do believe in people growing and people changing, because even me myself, I've grown and I've changed from when I went in the house. So I do believe she's changed, but I think there's still no excusing what was said.
Was you shocked when you, I'm guessing you've seen some of them? And
yes, I was.
Because I was. I mean, I ain't live with her. Yeah. But I remember sat here speaking to Stephen going, I'm really shocked from seeing the person in the house.
That's what I'm saying. The Trish that I met in the house, I couldn't see that girl saying
like a proper social justice warrior in the house, really, wasn't she? Like,
100%. I mean, and it was like everything she stood for in that house, those tweets are the complete opposite.
Yeah.
And so it was very shocking. Like, when I saw the tweets and read them, I was horrified. Like, Yeah.
Do you think it was the right decision not to include her in the final?
I mean, I think ITV would have got a lot of stick for having her there.
Mm.
So I think it's sad that she didn't experience what we got to experience, like it ending and everything. But I do think it was for the best.
Has she left the WhatsApp group or is she still there?
She was never added.
Because wasn't Dylan in charge of it or something?
Yeah. But she just was never added. But she hasn't reached out to anyone, so as far as I'm concerned.
I heard that she's spoken to Yinren.
Yeah, so she's spoken to her friends, and I messaged her as soon as she left, basically saying congrats. So this was before the tweets. And then she must have saw my video of me speaking out, and then she replied and said, thanks for speaking out, this, that, that, that. But that's all I've heard from her.
And what's everyone else's thoughts in the WhatsApp group? Because like you were shocked and we were shocked and everyone was shocked.
I think everyone has the same opinion in the sense that it's just completely shocking.
It's a shame. It's a shame, isn't it? I guess that for her and that it's ended the way it did.
But she was at 5 minutes and then literally.
So what was it like getting back all together for the minus Trish for the final? What was that
I
like?
Loved it was brilliant. Just seeing all their faces and being able to party together. Yeah. It was have a proper drink. Two drinks a night.
Is that what it is? Yeah, I always wonder what the limit is.
Refreshment calls. Yeah. So I'd run to that room, shove two cans in my pocket, a bottle of wine up my top. Yeah. So I'd be pissed all the time. But I think, oh, look at you. Mm-hmm. I think, so having a drink with everyone, and I was mashed. I'm not going to lie. Like, at the finale, when I left, I was steaming. So it was just
Where
nice.
Was it? In, like, a hotel or something?
No, it was literally in the pub down the road.
Oh, I love
Yeah,
that.
But we all came back to the hotel together. Love we were that. All in separate hotels, right? Like, there was five of us in
I
one hotel.
I say, probably tried to think, let's not make it chaotic if I'm being
we
the same
all
hotel.
We ended up in the same Coach hotel. Yeah? Did, yeah. And it was just such a vibe. Like, security came knocking on the door, right? At the hotel. Oh, my God. Our hearts fell to our assholes. And then as soon as I was like, we just came out of Big Brother. Like, we want to have a good time. And he let us into the bar when it was closed, and we were there till like 7 a.m.
Was it a messy one?
No, not really. You know, everyone was just sitting around chit chatting. But it was
playing
like seven
cards.
It was 7 a.m, and breakfast opened, and we had breakfast with a pint of wine, and then went up to bed.
Happy days.
Yeah.
And I bet for the first time, all of you together, that had never been a thing. And if you was only allowed two drinks a night, to see people that you know inside out and you've lived with, to see them pissed, and I bet that feels weird to also be having conversations
not be
that
on
aren't
camera.
Being filmed. Yeah.
No, so do you know what? Even like when leaving the house, the first shit and shower I took without being recorded, it felt so freeing. It was like, oh, I'm free. Literally, I can shave, I can shit. I can do whatever.
Yeah, it's like coming out of prison.
Literally. Yeah, no. So it's just very freeing. And then when everyone was drunk, everyone was so funny. Yeah, it was hilarious. When security come knocking on the door, they were still standing there, and Olivia's going, "Get the vodka, get the vodka." We're like, security's right there, and she's like, "Get the vodka." I know, it was bloody hilarious.
Is there like, I mean, you've all gone through an experience, so you'll all be close as a group, because even in years to come, when people go in a house, they'll never have what you guys had. Do you know what I mean? So you form that bond. But out of the whole group of the whole series, who's going to be your clique? Like, there must be a group in a group.
I think me and Kerry, we're very close. Like, we talk every day still. Olivia,
I saw you on Late and Live as well. Yeah. You're quite good together.
No, we bounce off each other. It's mad. Like, we finish each other's sentences.
And it must have been lovely having her in the house, because she kind of mothered you in a way,
she
didn't
did. She really did. She kept me grounded, and she put me in my place a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, I would go off the rails and she'd be like, sit the fuck down. Like, literally, like, yeah.
Let you know what time
she
it was.
She was literally like my mother. And then Olivia, I love Chanel. Like, me and Chanel hit the town 2 nights ago. That was brilliant. Jenkin. Do you know what? I feel like I'll stay in contact with all of them, but I feel like my little group will always be Kerry and Olivia.
Now, Jenkin, though, right, I think he promised a lot to begin with. Like, he seemed like he was going to be a real bubbly, fun kind of guy. Was not that at all.
Do you know what, though? In the house, they didn't show all of his laughs. So they showed a bit of here and there one-liners, but they didn't show his, like, fun side of things. Mm. Like, but it was a bit... I was a bit taken aback in the sense that when he came in, he was loud and all of this, and he sat back and just observed, but I feel like he had a really shit start in the house.
I was going to say, do you think it was that start?
I think he blew his load too early.
but also he had that thing where he didn't get his case, right? He basically had to put Olivia up for nomination, is that right? Yeah. And then, so it was like one kind of thing after another.
No
and
hot
it was,
water.
No hot water,
He had shit start, so I feel like
kind
that
of just ruined it a bit for him,
did,
maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was shocked. I thought it was going to be a loud character.
Has anyone surprised you watching it back now? So now kind of this putting fan head on someone who's no longer a housemate. So when you're on your sofa watching, is there someone that you obviously you've lived with, and then you see an edited version, or I guess especially when you see people's diary room chats, because that's the one thing you never see.
Yeah.
Mm. Are you surprised by certain people and the way they are in the diary room?
Not surprised, more in the sense that I wish they'd done things different. So like Jordan, for example, he would like let off to Henry about how he feels about, for example, he let off things about how he felt about me, like saying that he doesn't find what I find amusing, like me hiding people's shit and whatnot, which, don't get me wrong, isn't aggravated, is that the word? Yeah, anyway.
We know you, mate.
Yeah. And so I wish he just came to me with the problem he had instead of voicing it just to Henry or in the diary room. But no, watching the edits back, I think it's production who I'm mad at, to be honest.
In
what way? Really? Writing secret messages. They fully made it look like I spelt Nookie's name. They fully made it seem like
that's
I spelt
her
name. N-O. And then they made it spelt like I wrote two more letters. No, I wrote the word nominated. Literally, they made it look like I wrote Nookie.
Oh, did you think they stitched you up a little bit?
They did stitch me up. Yeah, they put me in prison. They made me on a sandwich board. They fucked me over.
Oh, yeah, the sandwich board. I forgot about literally. That.
And you know what as well? I don't know if they showed this when I broke the rule, but they'd said no nomination rules were broken. So then when I went in to speak to Nookie, I basically said the same thing I've been saying, and then they said I broke a rule and put me in a sandwich board. So what is it? Did I break a rule? Didn't I break a rule? Like, they didn't make it clear.
Well, I think it's the funny thing with Big Brother is like the rules sometimes sort of change and ebb and flow
Big
with the show.
Discretion.
Yeah, it's all at their discretion.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, my favourite thing about the Big Brother thing, though, is like how much the food sort of gets to everyone. Was that like really difficult to deal with? Because there was a lot of, in the beginning especially, a lot of like fights and arguments about the shopping bill and the Kinder Buenos and all that.
In the shopping side to do the food thing, I feel like it got blown out of proportion in the cuts and edits. Because you have to make cuts and edits, obviously, for the show to be entertaining. Otherwise, it will just be long.
Yeah.
So, but I feel like it was blown out of proportion a lot. But like, for example, like the Trish and the lamb chops thing. She had like three lamb chops in the pot. I asked for one and it was no. So I feel like things like that is just a bit, come on, babes, share. Like, we're on this house together. Yeah. Me, in the sense, there's food in the fridge, eat it. Do you know what I mean? Just don't stuff your face. Like, we all live in this house, there's 15 others. Like, be a bit considerate. And even in the tasks, oh my God, Zach pissed me off. So we were eating canned shit, right? And there was bread, rice cakes, raisins, and Zach was eating all the stuff that I eat. And like, he was having like three fucking portions. And so I was like, do you not think you've eaten enough? So like things like that, like the inconsiderateness, it just, that pisses me
and
off.
And things like that are going to grind on someone's gears eventually.
They are.
No.
They are also, I don't know why I don't know why people had a problem with Dylan cooking family meals. I loved him cooking for me.
Yeah, I always thought that was a bit odd. There was definitely like, it seemed like some people just got really aggy about that. But it's like, someone's going to have to do it. Because otherwise,
because as well, like, it's not even like the cooking was bad. It was really good.
Yeah.
It's not like serving up dog shit and you're all going, fucking hell, we're hungry, we can't eat it. Someone's giving you an edible meal, happy days.
I know, but they didn't air when I made cheesy pasta. Olivia
I love a cheesy pasta.
Oh, so do I. I'll give you my recipe, babe.
Oh, yeah, do it.
And, Olivia made spag bol. Like, we all chipped in with the food, but they always air Dylan cooking.
So what was there ever conversations? I'm guessing, obviously, they would never air things like this, or maybe they would touch upon it, but as a group, as time starts going on, do people start having, like, in little, whether like you're in a smoking area, which I know we don't get to see
now.
That's
a clever move. You can't have a chat and, I guess, have your snout and come out.
Yeah.
But do you start predicting who's going to win? What was everyone's vibe in the house? Did everyone, from the off?
Yeah, we honestly, like, even me, so from the get-go, I was set on Yimran winning because she's so sweet. She's got such a pure soul.
Yeah.
And I can't see her pissing anyone off to put her up for nomination. So I just thought...
But she did in the end, didn't they? Tom and Jenkin went in.
I know. I know. But you know what? In the sense that... So when Tom said, I don't know why she's crying, I agree. Because she put him up for nomination in the first place. So she knew there was a chance for him being nominated. And then when he is, she started crying.
Yeah, don't cry now.
Yeah. So I understood where he was coming from in that sense. But yeah.
But in the end, it kind of, yeah, must have petered out for Yinran, didn't it? Because she only came fourth.
What's your thoughts on them calling her name and chanting, even when they announced Jordan as the winner? Yeah.
Oh, I know that, but I feel like Yinran's fans, you know, till the day she died.
They turned the lights on, they were gone and babe, she's gone.
But Yinran's fans, they're incredible. But I love Yinran.
Sat on here and said absolutely loved her.
Get her on.
Yeah, well, hopefully we will. Obviously, we're running out of time, but I just wanted to ask, what was your favourite memory of having done the
coming out to the housemates?
Really?
Yeah, telling them I was a trans woman, because it was just...
That was a really brave moment, because you did it very soon into the show.
I did, but I knew I wanted to make it clear, because when you're in that house, any day could be your last. And visibility going in there was very important to me to show more, because I feel like trans people aren't shown enough in the media. So I wanted to go in there and break down stigmas and just show the world who I am, and just, I'm a normal fucking girl.
And I also guess if you didn't get it in early, you probably, because you must have felt, especially launch night, because what was it, the first morning you told him while it's breakfast, because there would be certain points, conversations would come, you probably thought, I can't finish conversations here. Yeah. Until you tell people.
So Chanel knew something was up. So on the first night, I couldn't hold a conversation for 5 minutes because it was just on my mind. So I'd go bounce, bounce, bounce. And then I started ticking. I don't know if they showed it in the first episode, but I was to the camera, just let me out for a fucking cigarette. So like, I was stressed out.
Right.
So waking up the next morning, when I finally let it out, Chanel said I knew something was up. So it was obvious, because I was like...
Well, I think you did an amazing job of it.
Yeah, completely. Smashed it, darling.
Thanks, babe.
Yeah.
And you rep the community very well.
Oh, thanks. That, honestly, the DMs and like the messages I've been getting, like saying that I've inspired like young trans people, just trans people in general, and made them proud, it's very heartwarming.
Yeah, that's kind of what you want to hear, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Yeah, like I got a message saying that my confidence has made someone else extremely confident, and it's that to me is just amazing.
Well, Hallie, on that note, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been an honour.
You're welcome.
Very much appreciate it.
And our final interview of the year is with internet dads Stuart and Francis, who talked about being gay parents in the public eye and the importance of having that representation. It was a lovely chat. So let's have a little listen to this. We have got Stuart and Francis in the house.
Hello.
How are you, boys?
Just living our best lives.
I feel like we're like entering a club.
Well, we've got a couple of little drinks on the go. The aircon's on.
We'll put the aircon on. Sun's out in London.
The lights in here are quite intense, to be fair, aren't
we? Need lighting. We're at that stage in life.
That's why I shouldn't have worn the hat today.
Don't tell anyone we turned 21 last week.
Bob, you've got to stop recycling that joke.
I'm starting to believe that we are 21. But boys, how are you? You're keeping well.
We're so good.
Loving life.
I was just about to say, I need the lights because our son keeps us up in the night. I know. It's fantastic.
Ooh, how is he?
He's fantastic.
He's
the best thing that's ever happened to us, I think.
That is so true. So cheesy, but so true.
Yeah, so for anyone that doesn't know, basically you're documenting your lives basically on TikTok, right?
Yeah.
As gay dads. With one son, and you've got another one
on the way.
Literally 3 months today.
I know,
like it's
exciting.
Crazy. I know, little girl.
We were saying in the car on the way here, we have bought absolutely nothing.
No,
nothing.
I feel like with the first one, we were so like prepared. Whereas with Rio, with the next baby, we were just like, it's gonna happen, and we'll be like, we'll get everything sorted.
You know what
I'm sure.
I thought you were gonna do? I thought you were gonna say her name. So we've like chosen a name, but we're not gonna tell anyone.
Oh, okay, fine.
Don't say it on live or air.
How did it all start for you then, like this kind of TikTok journey? Because you have a lot of followers, right?
Yeah. We basically, when we're looking into surrogacy, I think the first thing that everyone does is go online and try to find other couples that are doing the same thing as you. And there was just no representation at all on social media from couples in the UK. Because I was like messaging couples, because surrogacy is so confusing when you first get started with it. So I was messaging couples over in America that had done it to kind of like ask them questions on like, where do you get started? And there were some really lovely people that got back to me and helped me. But I really wanted to be that kind of port of call for people here in the UK, other gay couples. And I just thought we should just like start talking about, you know, how we've done it and what our story.
Now, I'm assuming you both are probably born the same kind of era as us. So we're both born late 80s.
Yeah.
And we grew up...
Very, very late 80s.
But we grew up with zero gay representation. Yep. Zero positive gay representation. Yeah. Absolutely zero gay family representation. Mm-hmm. So we just felt like... you know, things are changing now, and we just felt like we needed to be that representation for future gay families as well.
Yeah,
and just
yeah.
to, you know, Elton John has a family, but you never see any of that online. And I think it's raising awareness and just allowing people to peer in and just, but we just make sure we just have as much fun as possible with all our content. It's just joyful.
Did you ever find, and this might sound odd, but years ago on Terry, I remember always, because I've always wanted to, before people was even been doing, but I always wanted to be a dad, because I think, because I'm an only child, I think some people just are born. Is a man, are you maternal as a man? Is it still
paternal?
Paternal.
But you can
thank
be
you.
Maternal as a man.
Yeah, of course, that's
so
true.
Stephen's cancelled. But I always knew that I would love to, if I met the right guy, I'd love a family. I remember speaking out about it, and so many people, and it weren't just like, obviously there was a few homophobes, but even some men from our community was like, Bobby, but as gay men, the perk is that we don't have to work. Like, we could just go out forever and not settle down. We don't have to get married. We don't have to. And I was like, but I don't want to be that man in a bar at 92. Do you know what I mean?
With okay, I'm representing those.
He wants to be the 92-year-old in GAY with a Jager bomb.
Yeah.
No disrespect to GAY, but... I think, until I spoke about it, I didn't realise actually there's a proper mixed bag when it comes to surrogacy and gay men speaking about being parents. So I love what you do and are open about it.
It's just allowing people to think that that's possible. Because before you would think, okay, I'm never going to have kids. I am going to be in GAY when I'm 92. But now, if you can see that it's possible.
But that's fun too.
Yeah, that's fun too. Yeah. If you can see it's possible, then for those who want families... then they can go, oh, it's possible.
But I think for us also, like we worked really, really hard. We were doing really well and we were going on all these amazing holidays. And then there was a part of us that was just like, I want to be able to share this with like a family of some kind, whether how we were going to do that. And we looked into surrogacy years before, but we were always worried whether we could, you know, do it or whatever. And then literally the pandemic hit and we were like, I think this is the... Well, I walked into the front room and was like, Francis, we're having a baby.
And then what happens in a relationship, he like sets the idea and then I just go along with it.
Right, okay. Yeah, that sounds like a gay relationship. Well, I've got a friend going who's gone through adoption. Mm-hmm. Him and his husband they got their little boy in January. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. Like, fatherhood is hard.
Yeah.
Your TikTok is probably on the lighter side of stuff. Mm-hmm. Is that a conscious decision to keep it like that?
I think in general, we're both quite a positive kind of characters and we always see the good in everything. But what would you say, Francis?
I mean, I never put Rio screaming online. Figure out, you know, if he's screaming, I want to be there for him. I don't want to be filming him. So
it's not content.
And he's pretty good in general.
He's pretty good.
He?
But like the other recently, he's gone through like a toddler development and he started to get like bitchy. And I did make a vlog about kind of the changes and his temper and people were like, mine too. So it helps people to realize that it's just kind of everyone goes through it. But
naturally, we always look on the positive of everything. Yeah. Something terrible happens to us and we're just like, well, there's a reason for this and, you know, we can see the positive in it.
But also, like, it was so hard for us to have children. We don't want to moan about it. I know most parents moan about having kids, but I don't want to moan about it because it's such a privilege.
Yes.
And, you know.
So I think maybe it is a conscious thing that we have decided that, we don't want to be moaning.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. And that's exactly why you should be fathers and I should not be. And my social media is just me whinging.
I'm intrigued to ask this, and I don't know if anyone else, so forgive me, because I don't know if you're probably bored of this question, but is there a difference? Because obviously, as gay men, women, you've got a boy. We know how boys' stuff works. We're men. The fact you've got a little girl on the way, does that scare you slightly? Because that's always the thing about being like, oh, it's got...
I know, this is an interesting question, but all of my friends are girls. I don't have, like, gay friendships really very much at all. Not, like, maybe more now.
It wasn't a conscious decision, but...
Yeah,
we went
to drama school and all my friends were girls.
Yeah.
And so I actually feel much more comfortable with girls than I do with boys.
Yeah.
It's so interesting and I'm really excited
But in terms of parenting adulthood, do you think it will be the same as a boy?
Well, girls are always a bit more challenging, aren't they?
Goals.
In life. But that's why I
cancel him.
You're gonna get
no, No, not in a bad way. But I just love. I love women. I love.
Oh, I do. Just not like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think what they say is that boys tend to be harder in terms of this kind of like 18 months to 4 or 5 because they're more rowdy, generally, stereotypically. Yeah.
Laddish.
The girls become more of a problem when they turn into their teens. So, I mean, that's what people say.
Because that's what would scare me. Because when girls start getting to that age, I'd be that dad. I'd be like, you ain't going out.
I think I'm just going to encourage her, though. I'm going to go for it. Yeah. Go on. Shorter.
Go and get them legs.
Have you ever done a TikTok video that you've like got all ready and done and then been like, I don't think we should post this? Have you ever done that?
No, not really. I think anyone, like, we know when we're going to...
You also have high production values as well. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. We know, like, we did... it was a trending audio that was like, yes... no, yes, and we did put a series of questions on, like, does he have two? Does he have a mum? And it was like, no, and we know that that's going to stir those people up that are traditional family people. Yeah,
right.
Like sometimes we're like, oh, you know, but.
But it got 10 million views.
Yeah, fuck them. Like, yeah.
So there was a lot of hate, but at the same time there was, you know.
We get very little hate though.
Really,
Touchwood. We're like. Really grateful.
Yeah, I was not expecting it. I was expecting to receive a lot, but actually everything throughout all our content is just everyone's so positive about it. So it's I'm really shocked and really happy at the same time that
I guess with an algorithm, people are only seeing the content that they want to see, right? Unless they're seeking it out.
Yeah.
And that's kind
so
of
when something goes
TikTok.
Super viral, then it hits like all multiple different languages. Yeah. Like, I have no idea what I'm saying.
you see that translation button. Yeah.
You know, the thing for us, obviously, deciding to document our life like was a decision that we had to make. But we decided that, you know, we wanted to represent our family. But like the other day, I was like walking around London, went to a Pret, and this woman served me. And she was like, oh, I follow you on TikTok. And then she was like, you're the first gay dads I've ever seen.
Wow.
And I could see that she was from a different religion. And I just knew... wow, what impact are you making? Yeah. Like a religion that maybe would be not welcoming.
I just
thought that those.
That's how conversations start. Yeah. That's how change happens.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I don't consider us activists, but we're like silent activists because I want to make people laugh and just people aren't scared of things that aren't fearful.
Mm.
So
yeah.
Hopefully people see our family and like, oh, they're two dads. We're two dads, but it's not the fact we're two dads, we're two people. And we're parents like any other parents. Yeah. We just happen to both.
Because education is key, isn't it? And until something becomes, and that's what's lovely about social media, when you see things, because I don't think anyone's born homophobic, no one's born racist. They're things people inherit or they learn. No one's born each. You know, I don't believe anyone's born evil with any hate. So until you're opened up and you're seeing things, that's how people are going to grow in the next generation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Touch wood becomes more accepting and then we just pass it down.
Yeah,
and that's how it should be.
And I feel like I can, like, we're really seeing that as well. Like
so our Rio surrogate's kids were 9 and 13 when their mum decided to be our surrogate. And the way they accepted the situation was just incredible. Like, they don't have any prejudice about it or kind of, they're like, of course, yeah.
And she found out about it on Friends. Like, she knew about surrogacy because she watched it on TV with Phoebe.
Oh my God, that's such a good, and that's exactly it, right?
And so it wasn't weird for her because she'd seen it on TV. And that's kind of like what we're really trying to do with our whole kind of TikTok and everything is just allow people to peer into two dads bringing up a baby.
Yeah.
So I know number two isn't here yet, but she's only, what, 3 months away today. Yeah. Is there a third on the horizon?
No.
Two's enough.
Yeah,
100%. Like, I feel like we'll be completed too, for sure. We have got lots more embryos going, but I don't think...
I know, because we had loads of embryos left, so it's kind of like we could have the Von Trapp family.
I might have a couple of eggs off you. Give me a year or two. But you know what? Again, because it's not really, I think, until you're a parent, you don't think like that. But I've got friends that it's not until, I think, you have triplets or people have twins and they've already got two. Something that would never be on my mind. I was like, Bob, holidays generally are for four.
Yeah.
Cars, things that I've never thought about. She's like, when you've got three kids and there's two, but she's like, five, it don't work.
No. Yeah,
even rides at the theme park. And I was like, I've never thought like that.
How do you think people like Angelina Jolie deal with it? You know,
well, she's got private jets. I think she probably just hires out Alton Towers. I don't think she's, she's not getting her day pass. But no, keep doing what you're doing, honestly.
Oh, thank you.
I think, honestly, if it helps one person and it's helping more than one, and we need to see that.
But yeah. I do want to ask, though, has your relationship changed?
We just bicker a little bit more sometimes. Yeah.
I think how long have you been together?
13 years.
Right.
So we're just more tired, I think, as a general thing. So it's a little bit more.
I actually said in the car on the way here, so you know, when baby number two comes, we just need to make sure we give ourselves time because, yeah, like, I love you and I want to continue loving you. When you're in the day-to-day logistics of babies, it just takes over. So
yeah.
Just be mindful.
Mm. Interesting. I'm still not going to do it. Do you know what, though? I do find it's one of the things that's we're running out of time, but I do find one of the funny things is that, like, people don't believe that I don't want to do it. I get a lot of that from, like, women I work with, and they're like, you do, though. And I'm like, no, I'm quite confident in my choice that I've never seen my life with children. I have nephews who I love very much. But some people do find it hard to accept, right?
Yeah, I think that's even harder for women as well. Like, women
that don't want kids.
That's for some people just so strange because it's so out of the norm as well.
But I like having kids in my life. I don't know. It's weird. I'm long-term single,
but
so maybe it's just like
I don't think anyone should shame someone for that. Because being a parent is, and that, clearly it's a responsibility.
For sure.
I think you even know by our age if you do or you don't.
Mm. Yeah, and we really did. We talked about it throughout our whole relationship.
Did you always know you wanted to be a dad?
I just didn't, because there wasn't the representation. I didn't know it was possible.
Yeah, but you weren't Stephen going, never.
No.
But when we were growing up, you couldn't even get married. So it was like it's a completely different mindset to get yourself into. And I think our generation have suffered from that because you don't grow up thinking you're going to be able to get married. And that does change your mindset.
Yeah.
But I think that was the hardest thing about accepting my sexuality was thinking I kind of knew I wanted that. Would it be I just wanted the traditional, I'm going to call it traditional, just the family unit. I knew I wanted a husband. We weren't allowed at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted kids. Mm. It weren't even on the cards. But I think that was the harder thing about coming out when we was young because it was like, you can't even have it.
Yeah.
And you want what you can't have.
Yeah, it's true.
So that's why Stephen's happy to be the boy with his tequila slammers till midnight when he's not
wandering up and down out of Compton Street.
And good luck to you.
I'm the bad influence. Yeah, no, honestly though, it's really exciting and it's great to see what you're doing, and I think it's like more power to you. Like, and you've got a busy time coming up. This first Christmas is gonna be a lot. Right?
I know, it's gonna be I'm so excited because that was the thing when, you know, thinking about kids, the Christmas times are, you know, so exciting. And I feel like the first, when we go on holiday for the first time with Rio, it was just so exciting to explore again. And that's, for us, was just amazing.
Has he ever questioned it, though? Has he ever asked, like, where is his mummy or anything like
no,
that?
No, he's still not at that stage yet. He's only 18 months, so he's still no idea.
See, this
he's
is how I'd have no idea even when they start talking.
Yeah, so. No, he's saying words. He's saying words. Yeah, he's not at that stage, but
when he's ready, and we'll be ready to chat to him exactly how he came to
But
other gay parents that I follow online, they don't seem to, like, their kids are just so happy.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. As long as you're happy and feel secure, is there... I don't know.
I don't think he ever would ask.
I'm not sure.
Not
until he goes to school, and then he's like, oh, maybe I have got a different kind of situation.
That's actually true, because that's when my nephew asked to my sister, where's Uncle Steve's wife? And my sister was like, right, here we go.
Yeah.
And then one time I was working, I'm a journalist, and I was working from home over Christmas, and there was a picture of Princess Diana on my screen because I worked for a magazine. And he was like, is that your wife? And I was like, you've got a lot to learn, boy.
Well, she's wearing a tiara.
No.
But I think that is exactly what, I mean, we joke about it, but that is how the next generation learns, because when he goes to school, he goes, I don't, and it will be just as it should be, just the conversation, I've got two dads.
Yeah.
Mm. And then every kid in that class in that year just knows that's a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So when they have kids, that's how you pass things down.
Yeah,
so,
and I feel like we're still learning. We've got so much to learn on this journey of, like, parenthood. Yeah. Like, how to navigate all of the questions and all those kind of things. And I think, like, even, like, what we call each other, like, do you call daddy or dadda or
whatever. Do you have a dad and a dadda?
I'm dadda at the minute. That's the only word you can say.
And
he's daddy.
You're the daddy.
This can get problematic. I feel bad for gay parents.
When he turns like 12, 13, he's still having to call me daddy. I'm like, we might need to reach
out. We'll evaluate this.
My friends went with dad and papa.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, Papa, my mum's Dutch, my dad's Norwegian, so Papa could have worked, but I don't like the way English people say Papa. It sounds like, I don't know, I just...
A bit like Mary Poppins.
And a lot of people use it for granddad now.
Yeah. That's true.
And you don't want to be granddad.
And I didn't want him to go to school and say, that's my papa, and people are like, what's that? I want him to be like, no, that's my dad.
That's my dad.
Yeah,
it's my dad. So it's too much grind on that Stephen thing.
I'm not saying
but if it ever happens to me, you're the boys I'm calling, because this is how I'm going to learn it.
Please do.
Oh, thank you so much for coming into this, JJ. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. We're so excited to have you. Thanks for having us. Thank you so much.
FUBAR Radio presents Access All Areas.
There was an interesting no-show, I thought, in Harry Styles. Apparently he didn't come because both Olivia Wilde, his ex-girlfriend, and Emrata was there too, and he was pictured kissing her recently in Japan.
Lucky cow.
Apparently he avoided because best not to be around two women you've recently been with, I guess, if you're Harry Styles.
See, if I'd have been there, I'd have said to both of them, piss off. Harry, let's go and have a gin and tonic.
Politics Uncensored. So joining us now, we have Count Binface, an independent space warrior. I just wanted to quickly ask you one last question. Let's say you had won that election and you became prime minister. You know, what are some of the big things you'd like to change? What are some of the big things you believe in that our politics needs?
Well, why don't we talk about the old royal family? Because, you know, I don't wish to abolish them like some people do. No. I merely wish to solidify their ceremonial role so that they become the living, breathing version of Madame Tussauds that deep down the public wants. The Dating
Show. Again, I've been out on dates where people have gone, oh, like, what do you do? Why do they want pictures? And then I'll just go, oh, listen, I'll do little bits on TV, that's it. And then 2 hours later, when they've had a few drinks, they stop going, so tell me what happened with this girl? What happened with this? What happened with that? And I thought you didn't know.
Well, this is why I think I struggle with my date life, because I just see myself as me. You know, I'm from Oxford, moved to London, that's it. I have a great group of friends. That's as simple as my life is. When I go to date someone, I don't see myself as, oh, I'm a girl that works on TV. I just see myself as me. But then I'm reminded by some of the things that they might do.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
I'm going to play a little game as we go out of the show, babe. So I'm just going to make this up.
Okay.
So it's going to be a little quick quiz.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, have these celebrities dated? So this is linked to Renee's engagement.
I'll know this.
Yeah, you're going to, I mean, as a journo, you're going to know this. See, I don't know how to say this surname.
Say the first name.
Shia
LaBeouf.
That's the one. Yep. That's the one. And Hilary Duff.
Oh, fuck, I'm caught on the first one. Dated.
Oh, are you locking it in?
Yeah.
I'm going to lock that answer in. Oh, I'm going to lock my answer in as well. If you said dated, I'm going to say not.
Okay.
Let's say it's like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
You waiting for Maddie, our producer, to tell you?
They dated.
They did. I knew it.
He knew it. Jerno always knows these things.
Yeah, knew it.
Ryan Gosling and Sandra Bullock dated.
Dated. Oh, no, it was Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock. Was it?
Don't know. I would date both of them Ryans, though, if I'm honest.
There's not a Ryan in the world, a famous Ryan in the world I wouldn't date.
That's true. I feel like that about Davids as well. Beckham, Gandhi.
There must be David Williams.
Right, we're going to lock in that answer. Let's lock it in.
Wait, I don't know what I said. What did I say?
Who said is it again? You said they didn't date.
Didn't.
I said they dated.
Yeah.
And it's 1-0. They dated.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, so let's see how we're going. 1-0 here.
Yeah.
Adele and Stormzy.
Yes.
Dated.
Yeah.
We're both saying dated. We're on the same team here. Let's lock that in. They didn't date. I could have swore they did.
I thought straight after they...
Oh, it was Skepta. She was having a bit of the Skept.
Yeah, that's right.
Tricked us there. It was a tricky one. Oh, Simon Cowell and Leona Lewis.
No.
I feel there was always rumours of it, but I don't think it was ever confirmed. So I'm going to say no.
No.
Back in the day, I would have dated Simon Cowell, I think.
You'd date him now?
Yeah.
For the money.
We'll not, no, for the love.
Oh, yeah, sure, babe.
No, it's the position of the power, isn't it? It's the white shirt, it's the lovely teeth.
Oh, those jeans.
Right, we're both saying no to Leona and Simon.
Yeah.
Let's lock it in.
Yeah.
No, they did.
Yeah, well, I knew that.
Yeah, we knew. that would have been a bit of a scandal, I think.
Yeah, well, I think that would have been like front page of the Sun sort of situation.
Ashley Olsen and Lance Armstrong.
Lance Armstrong is gay, isn't he? From NSYNC. Yeah.
That's true.
I'm gonna...
No, he's a cyclist.
Oh, that? Oh, no.
Yeah, the other one.
Not
you're not thinking
Lance
the one that went. You're thinking the
Lance
one that went
Bass.
To the moon. Are you thinking the one that went to the moon?
No, that's Neil Armstrong.
Oh, that's Neil Armstrong.
No, I don't think they did because wasn't he married for a really long time? Lance?
So you're saying no? I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
I reckon Ashley had a go. They did date.
Damn it!
We've now reached the end of our final episode of 2023.
Woohoo! Join us next year where we'll be talking to some new and exciting guests from reality TV, social media and beyond.
Happy New Year, guys!
Woo!